This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the Syngenta Agronomy Team in the Midwest. You can keep up with the latest crop management advice from Syngenta by visiting their No More, Grow More blog and by signing up for their regionalized twice-monthly digest. It's been a while. Too long. I look forward to the middle of the week, but the past 2 weeks have been, well, yeah, kind of a jumbled schedule, but not today. Today is the day I always look forward to, and Dennis from Iowa and Quint from Kentucky are going to make today's Farmer Forum.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Purdue University's Jim Mintert. Then it is our Farmer Forum panelists, Dennis Bogards and Quinton Pottinger. And right after the news, a quick update from Margie Eckelkamp from Ag Pro Magazine. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's your beloved host, Chip Laurie.
Davis,
good morning, buddy boy.
I'm being interrupted as
what?
We speak. Yes.
Okay.
I was just handed this programming note. I mean, seriously,
oh, programming,
is it that important?
So it's not news?
It's not breaking news.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I don't have a button for a programming note.
So I'm just supposed to read this?
Okay.
Straight through. Okay. Okay, here we go. Today's second hour of AgriTalk, starting at 2:06 Central Time, will be an open forum.
Open forum. Okay.
Send us your questions via Twitter and include hashtag AgriTalk in the message or send an email to host@agritalk.com. Or call during the show, 855-482-5524. Was this your idea, Davis?
Are we doing a call-in show? Is that what the idea is?
I think that's what they're talking. Is that right? That's right.
Wow.
They tell me that's what we're doing this afternoon.
Well, looky there. I'm very excited. The studio audience loves it.
Yeah. Boy, excited. That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's a danger when you throw it out there. You don't know who's going to call in. I remember one time I got a call from my own house once.
You did?
Yeah.
You did? I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that when that happened.
No,
you
got to
be careful.
No telling what could happen when you open the phone lines.
That's right.
That's why we would prefer to pack those moments with thoughts, comments from our listeners.
Yes. Yeah, so when you call this afternoon, have your take ready to go, make your point, do it with civility, and let's move on. Okay?
Get to the chorus, and we'll discuss.
Yes, do not bore us, get to the chorus.
I love it when you say things that rhyme, Chip. Did you know that?
Well, it takes a lot of work for me.
I know it does. That's why I appreciate
it so
much.
Because I'm just here to be.
Yeah, yeah.
That special guy for you and me.
And we're doggone happy to have you, brother.
Get to the news.
Well, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce says it has filed a complaint against the United States with the World Trade Organization. According to a Reuters report, China feels the latest rounds of tariffs violates prior agreements made among negotiators at this summer's Osaka, Japan summit. This marks the third complaint lodged against the United States by China. And for its part, Washington published a written retort against China's first complaint, saying, quote, China has taken the unilateral decision to adopt aggressive industrial policy measures to steal or otherwise unfairly acquire the technology of its trading partners. The United States has adopted tariff measures to try to obtain the elimination of China's unfair and distortive technology transfer policies. Chip, the statement also said, since the actions were, quote, measures necessary to protect public morals, the matter is not subject to WTO oversight. Washington has 60 days to respond to the latest complaint from China, and the Farm Bureau Federation has urged the Trump administration to focus on negotiation toward resolving the ongoing trade conflict, saying in a statement, many farmers and ranchers cannot withstand continued uncertainty in trade. We must restore and expand markets. Chip.
Yeah, you can see how the Chinese are going to approach this one. Listen, mm-hmm. these latest rounds are illegal, so we need to get the legality of the latest situation resolved before we can even move forward on the negotiations mm-hmm. for the bigger package. You can see that. It's a stall tactic, plain and simple.
Yep.
That's all it is.
And if it does seem like the U.S. is shooting back with lawyer ball of its own, that that phrase, measures necessary to protect public morals, is in the WTO charter, and that does allow nations to sort of work together when there's a sense of urgency.
Right.
So they're kind of calling that out from our side.
Interesting
stuff.
Okay.
Well, five states have now declared states of emergency as Hurricane Dorian bears down on the eastern seaboard. While the storm has weakened, islands southeast of Florida have been devastated in the past week, and state officials in the Carolinas are concerned about the potential for crop and livestock losses. North Carolina has temporarily suspended trucking limits for ag products in that state and are bracing for the storm, which is forecast to approach the northern coast of Florida today and strike somewhere on the Carolina coast as early as Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm trying to turn my page here.
Yeah, this storm, it's good that it is weakening some, because if it was moving as slow as it is and maintaining its ferocity, that would have been terrible.
Quickly, yesterday's crop condition report from USDA, national corn crop 6% mature, 81% dough stage, 41% dented, 58% of the national corn crop dubbed good, to excellent. On soybean, the USDA says 96% of the crop is blooming, 86% setting pods, 55% of the crop in good to excellent condition. Spring wheat, 55% harvested, 67% good to excellent. And finally, Chip, President Trump says the giant package he promised to farmers in response to outcry over recent RFS waivers granted to 31 refiners will be out in 2 weeks. U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler are said to be negotiating a deal that would add 875 million gallons to refiners' blending obligations. Chip, sources do point out, however, that would only account for roughly one-third of the gallons lost to EPA waivers. And if I can editorialize, why don't we just follow the law as it's written and we wouldn't even have to worry about it? Chip.
Oh, look, you beat me to it.
Just a thought. Just a thought. Let's follow the law.
You beat me to that. Good. Excellent. I didn't have to say it today.
You're wearing off on me, brother.
Thank you, Davis. Appreciate it. All right, let's talk to Margie Eckel-Camp. She is the editor of Ag Pro. Margie, how are you today?
Good morning, Chip.
Good, good. Hey, what's going on with General Mills? What have they got planned as far, are they working with farmers on pesticide use or dictating?
Yeah, no, I think this is a really interesting opportunity for farmers as well as their trusted advisors, as General Mills has shared four ways that they want to reduce synthetic pesticide use in their supply chain. So some of these practices, I think, are just best practices, right, that farmers and their trusted advisors seek to implement every day. Some of these practices do require a bit of change of how they run an operation. So we're talking about regenerative agriculture, to which General Mills says that they want to have regenerative agricultural practices on more than 20% of their sourcing footprint in North America. This also includes integrated pest management, so IPM, which I think is the goal of all advisors and farmers, to not be putting out any additional pesticides than are needed and to be following that pest triangle. General Mills also wants to expand their organic acreage and what's interesting about their organic footprint is today the company says they're the second largest natural and organic food producer in the U.S. with more than 200,000 acres in organic production. And they have a number of initiatives around pollinator health. And, they've invested more than $6 million in educating consumers and in supporting pollinator habitat and research efforts. So, really interesting, too, and a lot of these efforts require that boots-on-the-ground agronomist to help farmers with all of these practices and how they fit their farm.
Interesting stuff. Hey, Margie, let's make plans. Come on the show and talk with us about regenerative agriculture at some point, okay?
I'm going to leave this call-in show this afternoon to you.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. Appreciate that. That is Margie Eckel-Camp, editor of AgPro. We've got Dr. James Minter from Purdue University up next. I'm joined by Mike Leach, agronomy service manager for Syngenta. He covers the western Midwest states. Mike, when growers think about their weed management plan moving forward, what are some of the goals that they should think about?
Well, actually, Chip, their weed management program for next year needs to start this fall with harvest. Yeah. They have a bird's eye view to see what species they're going to be faced with next spring, and they need to start thinking about utilizing the right herbicides that are effective on the weed species they're going to battle with.
Yeah, that word effective, I think that's real important, because when you use it, I think of effective sites of action. Explain the difference. What are those multiple effective sites of action?
There are a lot of products out there for farmers to choose from that have multiple active ingredients in the brand. And they need to ask, they need to discover, are all of the active ingredients, or at least most of the active ingredients inside that brand, effective on the weeds that they're doing battle with? For example, there are brands that contain a ALS herbicide. And typically we consider an ALS herbicide not effective on amaranthus or the water hemp species. So that's just an example that a farmer needs to understand what's in the brand that he intends to use, and is it effective on, are all of the active ingredients effective on his weeds?
And Mike, with all the weed problem that we've got this year, next year could be ground zero.
Absolutely. We're going to have tremendous seed in the seed bank in most of these soils across the Midwest. And I would recommend that we get very aggressive early and don't let the weeds get ahead of us, because if they do, we'll be battling them all season long. A couple of ideas to throw out would be in our corn. Start early with a product like Acuron or Lumax EZ, Lexar EZ, Halix GT as a post option. In our Syngenta portfolio, we have some options that can deliver excellent weed control for the whole season next year.
That was Mike Leach with Syngenta, reminding us to pick the best herbicides and don't feed the weed seed bank. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron, Lexar EZ, and Lumax EZ are restricted use pesticides.
Mark Hubler is the BASF U.S. Soybean Agronomy Lead.
I think it's a really exciting time to be a soybean grower right now because of all the new innovation. In 5 short years, Credenz has become the 10th most planted brand in the U.S., and that's really exciting for soybean growers, because we can offer over 75 varieties nationally and over 30 varieties in the Midwest with the new technology, LibertyLink GT27. This technology really provides a lot of flexibility when it comes to weed control in soybeans, and so growers will have more flexibility when it comes to the decisions they make from a crop protection standpoint. It's going to fit a lot of different acres, and so that's really what we're trying to accomplish with Credenz LibertyLink GT27, is to find that precise variety that fits the grower's need. The best place to go for more information is to contact your local BASF seed agronomist or seed advisor. These are the experts in the field that can answer the questions that you may have.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
Feel confident every time you turn the key with a durable, dependable battery from John Deere. Ideal for riding lawn equipment, tractors, utility vehicles, pickup trucks, and just about anything else on four wheels. You can trust that your engine will fire up day after day with a reliable performance or strong box battery from John Deere. Better still, bring in your old battery at time of purchase and receive a recycle credit for the battery core from participating dealers. Learn more about battery choices at your local John Deere dealer.
It's the world's largest totally irrigated working farm show. Irrigation and so much more. Make your plans to be at Grand Island, Nebraska for the 42nd annual Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th. Get more information at huskerharvestdays.com. There'll be more than 600 exhibitors at the nation's most modern outdoor farm show site. Husker Harvest Day, September 10th through the 12th at Grand Island, Nebraska. See the show program online now at huskerharvestdays.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis back in the studio.
10-4.
And the conversation that we have, it's not every month, but I'll bet we're on every other month schedule now with Dr. James Mintert, the Ag Economic Department at Purdue University, about the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. It always fascinates me because I always look at an indicator like this as something that would be slow moving, something that would be that would take strong winds to shift at one month to the next or accelerate momentum. And this thing has been so responsive to changing attitudes out in farm country that we need to talk about it on a regular basis. So let's bring him in. Dr. Jim Mintert, Purdue University. How are you, Jim?
Great to be with you, Chip.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and you've said that it doesn't surprise you how volatile it is. See, for me though, it was all in my head, I guess, that this was going to be a very slow moving. We'll get an update from Jim 2-3 times a year on this thing, and it'll be fine. But it is very sensitive to changing attitudes out there, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I think it's also important to remember how dramatic the changes have been, excuse me, especially in crop agriculture, but really across the board during calendar year 19. And, you know, you look at the barometer index that we released yesterday, this month's reading was 124. That was down 29 points compared to a month earlier. Think about what happened from the time we collected data in the middle of July to the time we collected data in the middle of August. The data collection period for us in July was almost exactly at the peak of commodity prices, particularly for corn and soybeans. Right. And, of course, a month later, those prices had plummeted, and they've continued to decline since then. Right. That change, I think, really motivated a lot what took place this month. And then you go back a little farther, you know, we had our low point for the year in May, 101. That reading was taken again in middle of May. It was during a time frame just before commodity prices had started to rise in response to adverse weather conditions. And also farmers were feeling, I think, pretty bad about the fact that they had made so little progress with respect to planting the crop. So I think the swings we're picking up on the barometer really do measure what's happening out there. But the big swings we've seen this year, I think, are reflective of the kind of a wild year we've really experienced so far.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that concerns me, and I'm not saying that it's been smooth sailing whatsoever in farming or agriculture in general. I don't want to limit it to farmers. I mean, retailers, everybody involved in the ag industry are struggling one way or another right now, it seems. But when you get these sudden changes in a barometer, in a real life barometer, it typically means that there's a storm coming. Is that how you look at this?
Well, I think we had a period there in July where people thought maybe we had turned the corner.
Yeah.
We were looking at stronger commodity prices on the crop side in particular for any leftover supplies that we had from the 18 crop, and there was still some of that being marketed this summer, obviously. We were looking at stronger prices for what we were able to produce in 19, and again, not everybody in the country was experiencing tough conditions. A lot of people were, especially where I am here in the Eastern Corn Belt, but other locations farther west were in better shape than we were. And then you look farther out, we were looking at strength in the 2020 new crop prices. Yeah. And so I think people were looking at that across the board and saying, you know, things are looking a little bit better. We finally did get the crop in, or at least got to the point where we were going to put the planter back in the shed. Mm-hmm. And then times for the rest of 19 and 20, maybe they do look a little better. We see some brightness on the horizon there. And then all of a sudden, over the last, 45 days, we've really dropped things back. And I think that's reflective of what's going on. So I think people are very concerned. You know, on this month's survey, the biggest drop was on the index of future expectations.
Okay.
So we saw a drop in index of current conditions also, but the biggest drop was that index of future expectations. And that tells me people are worried about the future. And I think concurrent with that, you know, we saw some weakness in the people's expectations and what farmland values are going to do over the next 12 months. We saw some weakness in that farm capital investment index, although it's still pretty far above where it was in May. It's people are not as negative about it now as they were in May, although I wouldn't be surprised to see that come down again here in September. We're seeing people express those concerns about where ag is headed, and really, you said a storm. I do think people are trying to batten down the hatches just a bit.
Yeah. Well, Jim, Davis Michelson here, Chip's sidekick. I went through the St. Louis and Chicago quarterly Fed reports, and both of them seemed to note that household spending was off on the quarter. In your mind, is a reduction in spending a sign that folks just don't have the money, or are they just tightening their belts and exercising a little more fiscal discipline?
Probably the latter, and I say that primarily because you look at employment reports, et cetera. That stuff is all still very strong.
Right.
But we are seeing some people express some concerns about longer-term impacts of tariffs, broader base than just agriculture. You probably saw there was a couple of big stories here in the last week about the trucking industry and truck manufacturers pulling back.
Yeah.
Sales volumes dropping pretty sharply in that area because transportation is starting to pull back a little bit. Reflective of some impacts of tariffs and reductions in trade. So I think there's some concern out there. I don't think it's so much that they don't have the cash, but I think people are a little more worried about where things are headed in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with respect to the consumer side, you're going to want to see some reinforcement there before you draw strong inferences there.
Okay.
I think some of the other survey data would suggest that consumers are still relatively optimistic. So I think we're probably in a wait-and-see mode, but people are paying attention, and they're worried about what's going on.
Well, and I wondered if that little bit better sentiment wasn't just because the planting season was finally behind us and we could move on and think about some other things. It's just a thought that I had.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a factor. I think that was one of the factors, but combined with the fact that we were looking at really strong commodity prices at that point,
right?
And not just on the futures, which is what we usually use to measure, but this year, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, the basis levels were so strong on any remaining old crop inventories. That combination, I think, made people a little more positive. But I do think to finally finish planting, and a lot of people were able to get, particularly their soybeans planted. We did have a lot of prevented planting acres here on the corn side here at the Eastern Corn Belt. But, I think people felt better about it from that standpoint. Yeah. And then they looked at the market prices and looked at what they're maybe moving at the tail end of their 2018 crop production. And it did provide a boost to the sentiment overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if they didn't finish up planting, the simple decision that it's time to pull the pin and park it may have provided some relief, too. So it comes in different ways. MFP payments, Jim, how much of an influence did it have on this reading? And it sounds to me like there's growing expectations that there's going to be a third round of MFPs for 2020.
Well, the MFP stuff is kind of a mixed bag. 71% of the farmers in our survey this month said that the 2019 MFP payments either partially or completely resolved their concerns about farm income for them in 2019, meaning that it was offsetting the impact of tariffs, at least in their mind. But 3 out of 10, 29%, said it didn't come close. It didn't satisfy that at all. So I think a little bit of a mixed bag, depending on your individual perspective. And then I think the interesting thing was we decided to ask a question, do you anticipate USDA providing MFP payments to U.S. farmers for the 2020 crop year?
Yeah.
And almost 6 out of 10, 58% of the people in the survey said, yeah, we expect to see an MFP program come about in 2020. And I think really what's underneath that one is they think probably U.S. agriculture, production agriculture, is going to need an MFP payment, because they don't really think that we're going to resolve the trade dispute with China in a way that is beneficial enough to see an improvement in income. So, again, I think that's reflective of the fact that people are concerned about the future. They're concerned about the impact of tariffs and trade on farm income. Of course, there was also a tweet from the president this summer that suggested there at least was a possibility of another round of payments. You put all that together, and I think people are starting to factor that in and say, yeah, we're probably going to get something. And those MFP payments were, you know, pretty large, pretty significant. I think the average payment rate, assuming we make all the total payment here in Indiana, for example, and the average across the 92 counties, $6,750 per acre. So that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. No question. Hey, Jim, we're going to be over in your neck of the woods on Thursday, September 26th for the Farm Journal AgriTalk and U.S. Farm Report Roadshow. I sure wish we'd have a conversation with Wally, but that's not going to happen. Appreciate you, Jim, very much.
Well, look forward to the opportunity, and you're right. We're all going to miss Wally Tyner's presence and his...
Very good.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, there are certain days when you look at the quote screen and it just kind of makes you cringe. And today when I look at corn, it makes me cringe.
Yep, definitely. Ugly performance here. We did see mild corrective buying overnight, but boy, once we got to the daytime session, it sure dried up, and we're down around 3 cents in most of the contracts right now. The September contract's in delivery, so typically it doesn't matter, but I think at the moment, where it's falling to is giving the December contract a downside target, and so there is some significance there, and unfortunately, the September's trading about 13 cents below where the December's trading. So we may see more near-term price pressure here on December corn futures and moving to new contract lows, obviously.
All right, a little bit of pressure on soybeans, but getting a bit of a price recovery in wheat.
Yeah, some indications there that maybe the downside's been overdone and, like you said, covering up some short positions, a little bit of corrective buying in there. I just don't think the wheat market can go far without corn. Like I said previously, the corn market just can't find a bottom at this point in time.
All right. After a decent start to the week yesterday and an impressive start in hogs, not much follow through today.
No, we did, open higher, but the profit taking kicked in almost immediately. The good news is that we ran into hefty selling pressure early after that firmer start, and we've come back off the lows. So we'll see. I think the finish is probably more important than what the early price action is in the hog market today.
Good stuff, Brian. Thank you, buddy. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Have we got time to wait for a chorus? Do we?
I think we do.
Bring it.
Oh,
we're living on the edge. You
thank
can't
you.
Give yourself a fun. Living on the edge.
That's as close as I can get to Steven Tyler.
Oh, please tell me that you had a hand on your hip. And
I've got my velour belt. My velour bell bottoms on today. It's sometimes things just sync up in your life.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good that tie-dye headband that you've got.
Yeah.
Yep. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Yeah.
Welcome glad back. You like it. Glad I can help.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Steven.
And see, this is exactly why you need to call in this afternoon, America,
yes.
Because it's going to be a full hour of this kind of crap if you don't. Yes, that is a threat. Yes.
Yeah. Call in this afternoon. It is an open forum this mm-hmm. afternoon. We want to answer your questions. Send us a tweet. Include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Send an email to host@agritalk.com. Or, of course, call during the show. That's what we would prefer, 855-482-5524. Just have your take ready, make your point, and do it with civility, and let's move on.
And the more people call, the less I will sing. Throwing that out there.
You really know how to incentivize stuff.
Oh,
there's
sure.
There's a carrot hanging out there in front of everybody. Let's get it started. Farmer Forum. Let's bring in Dennis. Dennis Bogard, South Central Iowa, Bogard's Farms. How are you, Dennis? Good to talk with you.
Hey, doing pretty good. Good talking to you today, too.
All right. What's the weather like down there today?
It is sunshiny and 74 degrees. Beautiful September day, I guess. We're into September now, so pretty nice day.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the kind of day that you need, isn't it? It's going to help put the finishing touches on corn and soybean crop, or... Do you need something different?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the really almost perfect weather in August to finish out or to, you know, hopefully add a few extra bushels on. You know, had a little bit of rain, a little bit of heat, a little bit of cool weather. You know, nothing crazy hot in August like we can get sometimes. And you know, we really saw, you know, those pods going on the top of the bean plants and the corn filling out. And so, you know, it all helps, but things are still behind New York down here too. So,
all right. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that here in just a little bit, Dennis. Bring in Quint Pottinger from Kentucky Affinity Farms. Quint, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing real well. I want to start on kind of a different topic with you, Quint, because I got to meet a friend of yours last week down at Farm Progress Show. He was on the show and as we're talking, he mentions Affinity Farms, and I'm like, wait a minute. Is this Quint and Affinity Farms? And it is. And I was talking with Sam Goldberg, Blood Orange Productions, I believe I've got that right, and
that's right.
The maker of the movie Silo. And you played a role in this thing.
Yes, we did.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, they were searching through Kentucky to get for a farm to film on, and they came up to the farm about, I think it was early 2017, and the director didn't think it was a place he wanted to use, and so they'd actually searched around for a couple of different places in a county next to us, a couple of guys we knew, and we stayed involved. We went to the rotary meetings and this, that, and the other. And the cool thing about Sam, you know, he's a New Yorker, but, you know, he does, you know, he's celiac. He has to have gluten-free food, and you know, he's dairy free, because, you know, he's got some other digestive issues. And so whenever he went to these Rotary meetings or Farm Bureau meetings, all they served is, you know, mashed potatoes and rolls and macaroni and cheese and all this and the other. So after these meetings, Leah and my wife and I, we take him out for, you know, a steak dinner or something, just to catch up, and we developed a friendship. Well, lo and behold, on June 15th, you know, in 2018, Leah and I were driving up to the State of Faith Convention to judge a contest, and he called me to Clint, the place that we had secured to do this filming. They fell through. They decided they didn't want it, and we're going to start in 40 days, and we need a place, you know. And can we shoot on your farm? I said, let's just get a contract put together, and let's see what we can do. And that's how it got started, you know.
Interesting. Interesting. Dennis, you got this guy coming out of New York, and he shows up and he starts having a conversation about making a film about a grain entrapment. And Quint, how do you believe that the guy's serious?
Well, so they had done a short film, and they partnered with the National Health and Faith Foundation to help get it pushed out. And we had actually been contacted through our state FFA, because we're involved with our foundation there, and they'd asked if we'd be willing to host. We already knew that there was some legitimacy to the script, and so when we looked at the script, we thought this is a good opportunity to tell a unique story in ag, and it stretches. It's not just about a grain entrapment, and I mean it covers the stresses that go into farming and the weight on the mind, especially for young guys that are trying to come up through the ranks. And I thought, I just fell in love with that script. And when I met the actors, that were just committed to making it come to life, I thought this was a unique opportunity. And I didn't look back. I thought, we need to get this done. We need to get this made. So.
Wow. Dennis, this is it's an important topic, grain entrapment. But like Quint just said, this movie's about a whole lot more than grain entrapment. And it's a story that needs to be told. And more, and just as importantly, it's a story that needs to be told right, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. You know, interesting enough, yesterday evening I was filling a semi and had my earbuds in and was listening to a podcast and just so happened to listen to an interview with the producer and of the movie. So I mean, it's totally unplanned. I didn't even know I didn't even put it two and two together that you're going to be talking to Quint today. Yeah. You know, I was listening to him talk about this and was just totally impressed with it. And sitting
was
there
that
the
Rob's podcast, thinking, Dennis?
It was Shark Farmers.
Yeah. Bobby, cool. Bobby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I, you know, I was listening to it and just got really excited about this movie and what they're doing. And you know, I mean, I haven't even seen the movie, and I'm excited about it. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you know, I'm on the FFA alumni board in our local community. I'd love to get the FFA on board with this and get several FFAs together. I got a good friend that actually owns a drive-in movie theater, and he has a farm in South Dakota, and it's a local drive-in movie theater. I'm like, I wonder if we can get him to show it. I'm like, all this stuff going through my head, because I'm sitting there thinking, this is a great story that needs to be told. The whole time listening to it, I'm in anxiety because I'm just sitting there thinking about, you know, the people that I've known that have been entrapped or situations and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, this is a tough subject, but it needs to be told. And it's quite an incredible thing. So
see, and that's the thing, guys. You may not know somebody directly that's been involved in a bin emergency or a disaster or a death. But you know, I'll bet you more than likely know of somebody that has, and you know a community where it has happened and the impact that it has on that community. We had an incident not that long ago in Waverly, Iowa, where the impact just rippled through the entire community. I mean, it was heartbreaking to watch it happen. This is the kind of rural America story that, I mean, if you're going into this, in to watch this movie with expectations that it's going to be this uplifting farm story, Quint, I don't want to be a spoiler here, but it's not.
It's right. It, it, it takes a very dark story, and it really tries to shed light on just the dangers of just how a few different wrong decisions can add up to something catastrophic, and they paint that picture. I'll tell you, Chip, when they finished making that movie, you don't realize what stays with you. And last year with the wet harvest and the beans that were high moisture with the bin, we just had a time getting beans out of the bin. And I can't tell you how many guys in Kentucky that were involved with this film or heard about making this film, that instead of going in the bin, they're cutting holes in the side of bins and shoving augers in and pulling them out. I mean, a mess. But thinking about that versus going in with a piece of PVC to try to poke it out. I mean, we even had to do the same thing. You know, I said, let's get a couple guys on the ground. Let's get a couple guys on the top of the roof before anybody goes in. Let's do this right, because the last thing we want, you know. And don't know if that would have crossed my mind in 2017 versus, you know. So definitely helping in my mind.
Interesting. Quint, before we get to the break, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. What's the status on your crop?
It's dry. Very, very dry. We've had an inch of rain since July 1. Luckily, our deeper soils, you know, they held up the water from the spring. And you can tell where the areas that had water when it went through the dry spell and the areas that didn't.
So. Okay. Oh, shoot. You cut out on us just a little bit. That's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. And the other thing that I want to be sure to get to, and Dennis, this one's for you. I'm going to start with you on this one, is we keep hearing President Trump say that there will be a giant biofuel package. When you hear the words giant biofuel package, what do you expect? Do you think it can really do any good? We'll cover that next, right here on the Farmer Forum.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Feel confident every time you turn the key with a durable, dependable battery from John Deere. Ideal for riding lawn equipment, tractors, utility vehicles, pickup trucks, and just about anything else on four wheels. You can trust that your engine will fire up day after day with a reliable performance or strong box battery from John Deere. Better still, bring in your old battery at time of purchase and receive a recycle credit for the battery core from participating dealers. Learn more about battery choices at your local John Deere dealer.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and we've got a farmer forum. Dennis Bogards from Iowa, Quint Pottinger from Kentucky. And I set the stage for this, but guys, keep in mind, I want to get to the local issues before we wrap this up today. What's happening in your areas that the rest of the country needs to know about? So we will get to that. But Dennis, I want to go to what I was talking about at the end of the last segment, this giant biofuel package. I know that you've been very involved in the biofuels industry. Just what do you expect? When you hear that, what do you expect from the Trump administration?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of scenarios that run through my mind, but I think the thing that's going to help the most is just some stability and some, you know, not changing the rules in the middle of the game. And and that's going to be tough to do with an executive order from him. But, you know, if we can get, you know, more biodiesel out there and more states and more ethanol and more pumps and, you know, move to E15 rather than E10 and, you know, some of those kind of things, some more blender's credits, I guess, if we need to. Hey, you know, I don't know what he's thinking or what he's going to be doing. It's, you know, anymore with him, it's kind of a crapshoot. You just don't know what he's going to come up with. And, you know, things have been working. But you know, I mean, like I said, though, the hard part is he can do this right now. But, you know, if he gets reelected, you know, whatever he does is going to be good for 5 years, 6 years. Yeah. And then the next guy that comes in, if he doesn't like whatever executive order or thing that Trump did, they could change it, and it could go away, or if the EPA administrator decides to change it all of a sudden, you know. So stability is, I think, the key to this thing right now, and when these plants know what they can do and what they can make, that's the key to it. And when you throw monkey wrenches in it, it makes it tough. So,
yeah, stability. That's a good word. Go ahead, Quint.
Yeah, no, I would echo that. I think it doesn't need to be executive orders by the administration. It needs to be sound policy. Because I'll tell you one thing, this whole trade war deal, they got farmers on both sides that some support it, they agree with it, they see the reason, the problem, they want to correct them. Some guys don't like that it's hurt the market. But when you start messing with a subsidy or with a policy that's meant to long-term help improve prices for farmers without doing a direct payment, which I think most farmers are in favor of it, opening up a market, when you start messing with the domestic market, I think that just ripped every shred of support people had for this administration using ag as a pawn. And I think that at this point, it doesn't matter where you stand on the trade war. Now I think a farmer feels personally attacked because of what he's doing with this with domestic demand. And I mean, I'm with Dennis on this. I don't know that an executive order is going to do a whole lot. He might get some of that support back, but it's eroding quickly. Got to have sound policy on this. It can't just be something from the administration.
Yeah, good stuff, you guys. You see, when I see it, guys, this giant biofuel package comment, I just assume that it means that they're going to reallocate some of the blending requirements that have been lost through the small refinery exemptions.
Exactly. That's the only thing I can figure.
But that would be a great win, wouldn't it, Dennis?
Well, I would sure think so. You know, you put some good news back in the market, at least anyway, and help us out on that and kind of reverse that negative that we've had that's caused some of this downturn in the last week or so. So I think that's got to be a big win. So,
Yep. All right, real quick, before we get to what's happening locally, Dennis, I meant to ask you this question when you were giving your crop report. What does it look like for a start of harvest for you down there in South Central Iowa?
Oh, you know, we're for sure probably 2 weeks later than last year. There might be some beans. You know, there was a few guys that got some early beans in April, and those beans are starting to turn pretty good and having some yellow spots in them.
Okay.
You know, most of the rest of the beans got planted in June. And you know, they're still just full green and not turning at all yet. So, I'm thinking, you know, very, very end of September to the first of October at the earliest is when we're going to start combining, which is a good 2 to 3 weeks later than we did last year. So,
all right.
But,
and Quint, with as dry as it is down there, you may be looking at getting started pretty soon.
Yeah, we thought we would be, and my wife and I pulled some more ears yesterday, and it looks dry, it looks ready, but we're almost a black layer. We're just not there yet, okay. So it still could be a while yet.
Gotcha. Okay, Dennis, what's happening locally or in your area that the rest of the country needs to know about? Give us some good news.
Well, I mean, man, good news. That's hard to come by every day.
That's why I asked for it.
And, I just really think, I think the weather in August is the good news, and I touched on that at the beginning, and the good news was we had almost perfect weather to try to get this crop finished out.
Okay.
You know, it could have turned south really fast for us here with these late-planted beans, and if we would have went hot, you know, hot, dry in August, that could have been pretty detrimental to some of these late-planted beans. And beyond that,
hey, you take blessings when they come, right, Dennis? You take blessings when they come.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. So.
Exactly. Quint, what's going on in your area?
With Dennis, it's some good news. Farming, we've got a new mental health initiative that's kind of being kicked off by Dale Dobson. He's actually one of the guys that helps get Sam in here. To do this movie, because he was all about farm safety. Now he's switched to mental health. I think that's really taken off. It's good. A lot of people participating, a lot of people sharing stories, and we're starting to see this little spark of community come back to the area, which is
nice,
very exciting, especially for Leah. We're young and in the community. We like to see that, because when we eventually have kids, we want to raise them in that type of environment. So.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Quint. Thank you, buddy. We will we'll talk with you again soon, all right?
All right, great. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That is Quint Pottinger from Kentucky. And Dennis, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. That's Dennis Bogard, South Central Iowa. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks also to Margie Eckelkamp and to Dr. James Mintert. You got to come back this afternoon. Is this right? I've got Davis down as today's guest for hour two of AgriTalk.
You got it.
At 2:06 Central. Is that right?
Yes, and I may burst into song at any moment.
I love it. And tomorrow morning, I'm on the road. Davis and Ag Days. Clinton Griffiths will have a conversation with Tom Vilsack from the U.S. Dairy Export Federation. Come back this afternoon for more AgriTalk.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Thanks to the Syngenta Midwestern Agronomy Team for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your Syngenta agronomist about weed management and other best practices that meet the needs of your farm.